In today's episode, we discuss 8 new rules for posting your sermon videos online. The pandemic forced thousands of churches who had never done a video sermon to put their sermons online. There are some elements to preaching that work well in person that don't translate as well to digital. Join us as we discuss the ways your church needs to adapt your sermons to better reach a web-based audience. We hope this conversation helps your church reach more people and grow. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Well, hey guys, welcome to the Reach Right podcast, episode number 42. I am your host, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host,
Ian Hyatt. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Ian, how's it going, man?
It's going good. Good. Little gray day here in Austin, Texas, but sun will be out before too long.
That's good. Excited for our conversation today. We're going to be talking about 8 rules for online sermon videos. So we have, over the last year, lived through the coronavirus pandemic. I feel like we're towards the end of it. I got that old shot in the arm yesterday. But one thing that the coronavirus pandemic did is it did make us, it forced our hands when it came to video. And just about every church, I don't know if I have an exact percentage for people, but so many anecdotally, so many of the churches that we talk to are putting sermons online each and every week. They're using a variety of channels like, Facebook, YouTube, Vimeo. Those are probably the most common, or just putting it directly onto their sites. But there are lots of things. I think there's a few rules that we wanted to share today that will help churches get better results, that are things that maybe a lot of churches miss when they do post sermons. So obviously, this goes without saying, the most important rule is preach good, right? Like give good sermons. And so that we're going to assume you know how to do that. And that's something that you're called to do if you're putting those on there. So having good content, nothing will substitute for that. You can follow all 8 rules. And if your content stinks, then it's not going to help.
We can't help with that.
That's there are people that help with that. It's just not us probably. We have uncovered, I think, a handful of things that will actually help good content perform better. And by perform better, I think it means seeing more people watch it, more people stay through the entire sermon, more people respond, more people connect with your church. Those are some of the goals that churches have with this. And so that's our goal, is to share some of 8 of these things that are maybe missed for a lot of churches, missed for a lot of church leaders when they're putting their sermons online, because they're not things that you do, or maybe you did do pre-pandemic when you weren't filming your services. So I think it's important to kind of talk through some of those. Does that seem right?
Absolutely. And I think this stuff was already important pre-pandemic, but the pandemic, of course, accelerated it like many other things. But I think a lot of churches have upped their game to not just only get their sermons online, but do some of these things we're talking about. So I think it's great. Why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, we'll do. I'll get the first one. The first rule for online video sermons is don't neglect the description. Don't neglect the description. And by that means just in every place you'll ever put a video online, a sermon video, there is always a spot where you can put some content that goes with it. If you're putting your sermon in a place where there isn't a content spot, some of the old video players that maybe websites had would have functioned this way. It's probably a bad idea. You probably ought to look at upgrading or getting a different system there. But all of the big players, whether it be a Facebook post, YouTube, it's probably the most popular, Vimeo or some other channel like that, all of those have a big spot. And one of the most important things you can do is writing a good description that goes with your sermon there. The reason for this is because in order for sermons to be found online, not just by your members, but by people that aren't yet members of your church, people are usually using search engines to find that kind of content. And that even applies to like Facebook. Like, it's not uncommon for people to put topics of messages messages into the search box on Facebook, and your sermons could come up. So this is something you have to write a description for every single message that you do. I would encourage churches to make a description that's maybe even longer than you would expect. I think you need to have at minimum, I'd say 100 words in your description. Yeah. I think my preference is, if I was doing it, I would say 300 words. That would be kind of my target for what a description could have. And this description, it probably has like the points that you discussed, any scripture references, just put the text of the sermon right in there. These are the kind of things you need to put in every sermon that goes online, because it makes it more visible when people do searches. What do you have to add to that, Ian?
Not much. You covered a lot of it, but I think it's funny. Some of our listeners might be thinking, wow, that many words, you know, up to 300. And I mean, because we're all thinking, when it comes to the web, keeping everything, you know, short and as simple as possible. And that makes sense in a lot of ways, but not in this particular situation with your messages, because I think that, like you're saying, the value it has for SEO, you want these to be found when someone's looking for whatever, you know, messages having to do with love or finances or whatever it would be that they're searching for. But I think also one thing that came to mind is, when it comes to a sermon, a little bit more explanation is good anyway.
Yeah.
You know, compared to maybe something, other content on your website, this is where you kind of have a little bit of a green light to be a little lengthier. Not saying you should preach super lengthy or the length of the sermon, but I think it also just helps not only for SEO and visibility when people are searching, but, you know, give people a little bit, if they maybe have missed the series so far or something like that, give them a little bit of explanation as to what the message is, give them some context. And like you said, I think one of the neat things you just mentioned that makes this encouraging and not too work heavy for a pastor or a media person making updates to a site is that this content's really already being created, you know, when it comes to, like you said, sermon points, scripture references, those things are already there. So it shouldn't be too tough for someone to come up with a good 150 to 300 words there. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that what the content you're looking for here is kind of that intriguing question is like, what is the problem that we're trying to solve in this sermon? So have you ever wondered this, or have you ever dealt with this issue in your life? Well, in these next, in this sermon, we're going to tackle six ways that we can uncover that and get victory over that situation. And so that's the kind of stuff. We're not trying to give away the whole story. You don't want to give away the entire sermon. You don't put the application in there. But I think giving that description, it serves as a tool to help someone be inspired to stick around and listen to the end and actually watch the video there. So that's it.
That's good. Well, I'll tackle the next one, which is be careful with crafty sermon titles titles to your messages. So be careful with getting crafty. It's easy to get creative, right? When it comes to a sermon, you know, and when you're thinking about it as a pastor, and I've preached, you've preached, you know, you're thinking about it from just your point of view. And it's easy to kind of come up with something crafty or too creative, and that's good. It's a positive thought. It's the right thought. But when it comes to, again, people searching for specific things online, if you had a good example when we were talking about this point earlier, brainstorming for this podcast, you know, if you have a message that it's about when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fire, you know, if you want to call it jump in the fire, you know, that sounds cool and it's a little creative, but most people won't be searching for sermons or messages about jumping into the fire, right? That's probably the last thing that they want to, you know, when they're thinking about heaven and hell. But no, instead it would be something like how to grow in your faith or something like that, because obviously that's a faith example in scripture. And so again, a lot of it has to do with SEO, but I also think that, you know, not just SEO, but if you would agree, thinking about it for the person doing a search, you know, jumping into the fire might sound cool to you, but for maybe that person that isn't in church every Sunday or maybe doesn't even have faith yet, you know, a simple, more universal term like, how to grow in faith or how to have faith in God, that's going to be a little bit more applicable to those people too, right?
Yeah, I totally think so. Now, so this is one of those things that is totally different from in-person services to video services. I'm not even saying that you should change the title of your message in your services, right? So you might, in your video, you might, the sermon you actually deliver, you might say the title of this sermon is Faith Under Fire or something like that, whatever it is. But just know that that's not a useful title because when people, there's very few people that'll be searching, like you said, jump in the fire, if that was the title of your sermon. Very few people will search for that. And the people that are probably some kind of like masochists that are figuring out how to do fire walks or something like that. They're looking for like sarcasm or like wit doesn't play well in search engines.
It's actually the title of a heavy metal Metallica song too. So they, jump in the fire. So
jump in the fire. Yeah. So they're probably looking for that. Almost certainly they'll be looking for the Metallica song. So
not
anyway,
the sermon,
The point is that when it comes to how people type in searches, and you should basically ask yourself this question, like every time you title a sermon online, ask yourself, who would be searching for something like this? Like if someone who is searching for the answers that we're giving in this sermon, what would they type into a search engine or what would they type into YouTube? YouTube is great for how-to videos and for learning new topics. And so for a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego sermon that's about, you might be how to keep your faith in trials or in hard times or something like that, that would be more appropriate for a title. Now, again, I'm not saying change your physical sermon title.
Right.
Like when you give your, you could even in the video, you could say, hey, the title of our sermon is Faith Under Fire. That's okay to do that. But in the description that you're writing, when you're loading it on your site, on YouTube, on Facebook, wherever it is, the title should be something that you could conceive that a person who is looking for answers to the questions you're answering, they'd type into a search engine.
That's good. That's good.
Awesome.
Excellent. Why don't you tackle the next one?
Cool. Number three is consider a transcript. Consider giving a transcript. I've never been one of those guys that preaches from a manuscript. Some of our audience, I'm sure, writes out every word of their message and types it out and they read from it. That was never just my way. I was more of an outline kind of a guy.
Yeah.
But when it comes to search engines and being visible online, as a general rule, more good content is better than less content. When you can, when it makes sense, and there's some cost to count with this, but having a transcript of your message, having it in written form is a really valuable tool for search engines. So there's a couple of ways that churches can tackle this. So many churches probably have someone who is a volunteer, or maybe someone who's good at typing, who would love to take in the message each week and transcribe that. That's just something that they would have a heart to do. Maybe you have someone who comes to mind in your church that could do that. That's fantastic. Fantastic. The other option is there's some really cool tools out there nowadays, and we can put a few of them in the description here, but there's some great tools that will, you can pay for a service to transcribe things. On average, for decent transcription, you're probably talking about in the range of $1 a minute. That's what those kinds of services will cost. They use digital tools and then someone kind of checking on them for the more expensive ones. And then you'll have really cheap ones that cost $1 for a whole sermon that just spit out the computerized version of it with all of your ums and uhs and your stutters and all those kinds of things in there too. So I have seen this be really helpful for churches just because it gets thousands of words onto those posts. And there are some people that just learn by reading better than by watching.
Right.
And so they would like to be able to read through a sermon and see what you have there. Yeah. I know that there's a few pastors in history that I am so blessed to have been able to read, Charles Spurgeon. We named one of our sites that we do after him. We're big Spurgeon fans. You know, I don't know that if I heard him preach that I heard that he just read from his messages when he preached. So I don't know that it would be as valuable to actually watch a sermon from Charles Spurgeon if you could.
Right.
But reading it has been something that's been valuable to me over the years. So there are people that really do learn that way.
That's good. And I think, again, more content, just like we've talked about with blogs, just like we've talked about with, you know, and we don't, again, We're not recommending you make your website busy with, you know, going too lengthy on things, but
right.
the more content with good keywords, you know, because there's going to be a lot of rich keywords within sermon content. You know, pastors yep. say a lot, they teach a lot, they give a lot of references, and not just scripture references, but storytelling and all sorts of good content comes from that. And again, I think people, they're digging into messages more these days too, after with the pandemic. A lot of people, they prefer to not only just watch, but like you said, read. I've seen it on more websites than ever before. I think it's a good thing. So excellent. Yep. I'll tackle the next one, which is make a cover image. So I think, you know, for a while now, way pre-pandemic, churches have been moving more towards doing sermon series. Not every mm-hmm. pastor is going to be a series oriented pastor, and that's fine. But for a while now, we've known there's been value to having a nice cover image for your message mm-hmm. or sermon series graphic. Something right. We've known already that you know, the current generation, next generation, people are becoming even more visual now than ever. So for that reason, you're going to have something more engaging. It's easier now more than ever. Even if you don't have like a good graphic designer to your church, there's thousands of, you know, options out there, images that you can find that tie to your message. And yeah. So it's not that tough to find these images. I'm surprised how many websites still that I come across though, that don't have an image associated with their sermon. Either it's just a text, you know, it's just mm-hmm. the title of it, of the message, or it's just the church logo, which I guess is, you'd think is better than nothing. If you have a good looking logo, you have some sort of a visual, but then again, it just makes them all look the same if just your logo's yeah. up there in your messages. But not just for the visual appeal, but you can expand upon some of the other good reasons for that too.
Yeah, I think that the bottom line is that every bit of content you make right now as a church, and you put it anywhere online, it needs to have an image with it. Yeah. So this is the case for blog posts. It's the case for sermons. It's the case for church events. It's the case for everything you put on your website. Yeah. Every post you put on Facebook should have an image. Every yeah. Instagram post obviously newsletter. Has to have an image.
Yeah.
Newsletter. So photography, like the adage says that a picture is worth a thousand words. It's so true. Yeah. The reason for it's like a proven fact that people are much more likely to click on and learn more about when they see an image versus just text or a title.
Yeah.
An image is going to be what grabs you. Think about the way for our audience that uses YouTube. I get on YouTube and you can read all the titles, but what I tend to do is I tend to look more at the graphics that are there. Yeah. And usually the graphics have the title or some variant yeah. of the title in them. And that's what we're trying to get to. Like yeah. you want your image to stand out, and not because your title isn't going to stand out by itself in a sea of images. If it's just your logo or it's just yeah. the title of your sermon without an image, then it just doesn't stand out the way that we want it to. So that's really important. As far as tools to do this, I highly recommend Canva for churches. I think that's a great product. It's free, or you can get a paid version that's $10 a month. Mm-hmm. And listen, as a design company at Reach Right here, we do web design and graphic design for a living. We still use Canva to put out all of our sermon our video graphics for this podcast. We use it for doing all of our blog post graphics, all those kinds of things. They all come, we do that kind of stuff in Canva. So well worth the $10. There's really not an excuse in this day and age.
Yeah.
It takes our team maybe 5 minutes to put together a graphic yeah. for one of these things here. So it's not a hard project to take on. It's something you can churn out over and over again. So yeah, it's a must have at this point.
Good stuff.
Awesome. Number five, let me hit that. It's loaded onto multiple channels. Load your sermons onto multiple channels. This is because if you're doing the hard work of recording a videotaping a service, you're putting it on one channel, it really isn't a lot more work to put it onto other channels. So yeah. I think that every church should have their sermons on at least YouTube, Facebook, and then probably you might want to use a Vimeo or something like that. and then certainly having it directly on your website. Yeah. If I had to rank the importance of each of those, I'd say having it on your website is most important because that's where people will go and expect to have that. And the moment you send people off of your site onto YouTube or Facebook to watch a message, you lose that audience. You no longer have control over what they see after that and where they click off to and all those things. So having it on your site is the most important. I think most churches today are probably putting it onto a YouTube or Vimeo and then embedding that onto their website.
Right.
But really, like for instance, this podcast, we do a video format. We put that on YouTube and Facebook and our site. And then we also have an audio format that we put out onto Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the podcast channels that it goes out to. I know we're talking specifically about video in this conversation here, but I think you should also take the audio files of your messages and podcast them, put them out on all the channels where people can access podcasts, because really it's about reach. If we just did one channel, I mean, I look at our reach now and it's been steadily growing on our podcast here, which has been really fantastic, but our reach is divided. I mean, no one part has more than 50% of our audience. Our largest is people listening on their devices, the audio version, but we get lots of views on YouTube, lots of views on Facebook, and those things are only growing. So it's maybe an extra 10 to 15 minutes of work, but put it out there, have your media people put it out there on all channels available. You'll just see better results that way.
Yeah, and everyone's been already familiar with the term going viral, right? So obviously, more visibility, you're going to get certain demographics or just certain, you know, pockets of people and on certain social media channels, or, you know, some people spend more time on YouTube than they do Facebook, and vice versa on Facebook more. But I like the point of it, the most important part of it being on the website, and there's a lot of reasons for that, and that's a, we can have a whole nother episode on that. But I think that if you're doing a good job, when you're pushing it to other social media channels, always send people back to your website, funnel them back there, because they could just do so much more with it. They see the video and they can also fill out a form. They can respond in certain ways. So there's a, that was a good point you touched on. So good stuff. Well, I'll tackle the next one here. So that's also provide related links. So within your sermon content, you know, this is a really neat thing, and it's not too hard to do, but this really helps for SEO, and it also gives people a good resource when they're watching one of your messages. And let's just say you're, you know, in a series about prayer, just making something generic up there. You're in a series of prayer. But then you touch upon something else that was maybe in another message in that series or another series, you can link within the content. So again, in the description or the body of text there, you can drop a link in there. And maybe if you're in a series on prayer, but then you had another sermon years ago on prayer, you can also resource them to that. And all of these things kind of work together. So not only is it a resource for the person watching or listening to the message, it also helps for SEO and visibility, doesn't it?
Yep, absolutely. So a couple of rules for SEO. There's two kinds of linking. There's internal linking and external linking. So linking internally means linking to other places within your website. So when you have a description on your site of a sermon, it'd be great to link to past sermons, or if you mention baptism in your sermon, link off to your baptism page where people can get signed up for that. Those kinds of things make a lot of sense. Then there's external linking, which it's important that every sermon has at least one, every post of any kind of content has at least one external link. So that's just kind of a general rule of what Google's looking for. Whenever we create content, we try to have an external link that goes somewhere else. That'll be valuable. So I think a few ideas for what that could be is if you have a resource that you talked about that's external, talk about that. But I think if you're using any statistics or quotes, it makes a lot of sense to link off to the source that you used for those statistics or quotes. Here's a new paradigm that we live in nowadays. And I know this as someone who's preached for over 15 or 20 years now. I guess I've been preaching sermons. When I preached in the beginning, people didn't have the ability to live fact check me while I was preaching, right? So I could say whatever I wanted to say. No, but it's one of those things where now I know for a fact, especially online that people are live fact checking people. Like if a pastor quotes a statistic and, you know, they say that over 50% of statistics are made up on the spot.
Yeah.
Right. So no, yeah. But if a pastor's quoting a statistic and it doesn't ring true to someone, I'm going to be surprised if they're not pulling up their another device or maybe even that'll hit, make them stop your video and what they're doing in the sermon and go on to another window and try and figure out what's going on. So the best way to put that to rest is just provide links to it. If you have statistics that you're talking about or you're talking about something that has a quote from someone else, put it right there in the description, link off to them, give credit where credit's due. Right. And I think everybody's happier that way.
Makes you more credible too, right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
Whenever we talk about statistics with web design or search engine marketing or whatever, we mention the source so that it's if people know it's a reliable and credible thing. So that's good.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's it. Good. Number seven, let me hit that one.
Yeah.
It's a create a short intro, create a short intro. So there's two kinds of ways to do this. So one way is like a really short intro that just says, you know, the name of your church and maybe a little audible part that has that. That's not what we're talking about here. Kind of like a title screen. That's good. Go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
I think that every sermon video should have, you should almost think of yourself as like, as a YouTuber, every time you preach, and you could do this after the fact too, but you should think of yourself like a YouTuber and you think about the YouTube videos that you watch. Usually what the format is, they'll have a excited person in the beginning telling you about all the things you're going to learn in this video. They'll have a little title screen and then they'll go on telling you the things in the video. They'll actually do the video. So, that's probably something like, hey, you know, welcome. In this episode, you're going to learn about this, or in this sermon today, we're going to talk about faith, how faith is going to make an impact on your life. We hope it makes it helps you make a life change today, or something to that effect. That just talks a little bit about what you're going to get and a reason to stick around on this video, and then it helps them kind of get over that hump and not click over in the first few seconds. Because here's the deal: the first 15 seconds, that is the most important part of the video, because people decide whether they're going to stay for it or not in those first 15 seconds there. So that little intro, it's something that we've started doing here. We've always done it on the audio side, but it takes a little bit more work. And so we started doing that on our video side here too. And we've actually seen an uptick in our time that people spend watching videos as a result of having those little intros. So you probably don't do that already on Sunday. So taking just the raw footage from Sunday, that won't really work. What you might want to do is maybe after service on Sunday, you kind of get up there and after your sermon, you'll say, hey, in this sermon, we talked about this, this, we hope you stick around and catch the entire thing. All right. Or the one that I love is the ones that if you have like a, let's say you're one of those point preachers where you say you have 7 points in this message or something like that. You've probably seen this video, Ian, where someone says, you know, in this video, we're going to talk about the 7 reasons that it's important to keep your faith in fires. And all these reasons are especially very important, especially number 7. Right. That's what they'll say. that way that it kind of, it makes the audience think, well, I really should stick around for all 7 of these, especially the last one, because something special is going to happen there. So these intro videos are really powerful. I think a great tool. And I think it's, it is more work, but I think it'll get you better results. What do you have to add to that?
Yeah, no, you made me think of several things. So back in college, when I had my public speaking class, and you know, the number one like recommendation at the very beginning of your speech is to have an attention getting statement. You know, something that's just going to get people engaged right off the bat. So this has been a principle that's been around. I mean, like you said, that first those first few seconds, just like on a website, we say George Barna came out with this stat. I don't know how long ago he said you only have about 4 to 6 seconds to get someone engaged on the homepage of your website. And within those first few seconds, they're deciding whether or not they're going to click further. It's the same kind of concept. And then it also made me think of my church. You know, I go to a larger church. We've talked about that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of production put into our pastor sermon series and everything, but you know, they've put and I'm not saying every church has to put a ton of production in this, but what we've seen seen is when we do, you know, and this is a short thing, like you said. So, but when we do an impactful, short opening kind of, you know, intro to the sermon series, you know, we've heard people stand up and scream. They get so excited, you know, and they're like, woohoo, you know, and they're ready. And that's just how we're wired. It's how we're wired. And I think that, you know, you never get a second chance to make that first impression like we've always seen. So, but,
that's it.
Yeah, that's good. Well, it's funny you mentioned that, some of those messages that said, especially point number 7, stick around for that. We're on our last point, number 8, which might be the most important. No, it's last, but not least for sure. That's ask people to interact, you know, after they have, while they're watching, after they've listened or watched, we do it at the end of every podcast, like, comment, subscribe. We've seen this. It's a principle that's been around in marketing for years, and the same, and it's going to help churches hear from people. I know that marketing, we don't always want to say all these words in ministry, but you know, it's something that's baked into anything you do. You know, when you ask someone to respond or do something, there are so many more times, I don't know how many statistically, how many times more likely they are to do it. But they are more likely to do it. So I think that that's always something you should do.
Yep. You have not because you ask not. It's
That's
something
right.
that is important. So the reason for this is that likes and comments and subscriptions and shares and all those things, they tell each of the algorithms, whether it be YouTube's or Google's search algorithm or Facebook's algorithm, whichever one it is, it tells them this content's good. We should show it to more people. Like that's what that it reinforces it. So the more likes, comments, subscribes, shares that you get, the more visible your message will be. Therefore, the more people you will reach with the message. Therefore, the bigger impact you can have for the kingdom with the messages that you're being given. Yeah. And so I think that this is something that is really simple. And I know I don't like doing it. It's just something that you kind of have to do. I feel cheesy even sometimes at the end, you know, saying smash that like button. And doing those things that all the cool YouTube kids do. And, you know, it's just everybody doesn't like asking for those kind of things, but it really does make a difference. And here's the thing is that your audience, like our audience, in most cases, they're happy to do it. They want, you know, like, remember this, the people watching your sermon, most of them want you and your church to thrive. They believe in the message and they want it to get out there. And sometimes that little gentle reminder of, hey, consider doing this. Consider just hitting that like button. Consider the sharing this with someone that you think it might appreciate it. I think that goes a long way to helping them get over that hump. They probably want to do it anyway. But if you ask, your odds of them actually doing it are much greater.
Yeah, good stuff. Nothing much to add there. Hopefully this was helpful to everyone.
Yeah, I have something to add. Would you, if this was helpful to you, if you would rate, review, subscribe, like, share, smash that like button. Yeah. It means a lot to us. We hear from you guys and we hear from some of the people that watch consistently just that it is making a difference in your churches. And that means the world to us. So thank you guys so much for your continued support in this Reach Right podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for being part of the Reach Right family. And we'll see you guys next week.
See you.
Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.